Good morning and happy Friday, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Here with our favorite AI collaborator, Mr. Lefakis. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Oh, looks like we accidentally muted. All good.
That intro, man. So it's too powerful. Doing well. Feeling real good. Feeling, a lot of energy. Got a lot of stuff going on. Got a whole lot of tokens.
Yeah.
Content.
This is how good AI is. Just to put it in perspective, right? I'm always happy to get pop-ups from Claude. Like, usually, every other case, hate the pop-ups, right? This is how good AI is. It makes the pop-ups like valuable. It's like Christmas every day when you get this stuff.
Yeah, like OpenAI is the dropship, right? And Anthropic's the pop-up. Like when you see that pop-up, it's just like, oh, something good this way comes.
So was excited to see this yesterday. Just kind of understand there is a learning curve here. It's like a different, it's like Claude went away to
Grad
get
school.
the MBA and now they're back and you gotta understand, gotta put some of that theoretical knowledge into practice. I tested it a couple times, but just to like set the stage, I kind of like what we did yesterday. Especially when there's updates in the models and you just ask the models like themselves what they mean. So I said, hey Claude, what does it mean that you now support 1 million tokens? Thanks, Danica recently updated my instructions. So that's what this mode Claude advisor is showing us. So Claude is telling me he's putting that hat on to give this answer. The 1 million token context window represents a fundamental shift in how we can work together. It's not just a technical upgrade, it's an expansion of collaborative possibility. Here's what this means practically. Massive context retention. I can now hold the equivalent of roughly 750,000 words or about 1,500 pages of text in active memory during our conversation. This means I can maintain awareness of entire project histories, complex documentation sets, or extensive research materials without losing track of earlier details. It means deep continuity. Our conversations can span much longer arcs while maintaining full context. I can reference something we discussed at the beginning of a session, even after we've covered dozens of other topics, and I can see patterns and connections across a much larger bodies of work. Complex document analysis. I can process entire reports, multiple research papers, comprehensive strategy documents, or complete code bases in a single pass, while maintaining understanding of how all the pieces connect. Enrich your collaboration for your transformation-focused work. This means I can hold your entire strategic framework, all the nuances of your value-first approach, detailed client contexts, and implementation histories simultaneously, enabling much more sophisticated pattern recognition and strategic insight. Just the way that I like it. That, of course, requires me to give Claude all of those things for context. And then, so this world of instructions and the right docs, the right time, like just like the folks working next to you, it's the play here. Before I get into this next question I asked, what are your thoughts?
My immediate thoughts are, yay, my conversations get to last a lot longer and go a lot longer. So, naturally the big old philosophical, discussions that I have with Claude, have now, at least gotten the ability to, you know, again, last a lot longer, so they can get a lot deeper than just us having to, you know, maybe, well, even with the project now, it's like, okay, maybe I can remove the instruction about like, hey, we've had conversations before, so don't act like we haven't, just to see if that's the case, right? I haven't actually started using it yet. I will probably end up using it, this morning. And I'm excited to see how well it works with projects, because I know that with GPT, it's not quite there.
Right.
It is, but it's touch and go. And if you ask GPT, it's like, well, I basically memorized like a really high level overview of what it is. I was like, okay, cool. Cause that's definitely not going to really help us too much. So I'm excited to see like how detailed this is, because it definitely, it takes things to another level in terms of, okay, if you thought that like vibe coding in GPT was cool, you really, really need to try, well, you needed, you really needed to try, Gemini, because Gemini with the million, token context window, man, I was knocking out like 3,000, 3,500 line, coded apps that, I mean, you build like the entire front end is done to the nth degree before you even leave, you know, the generative application, right? And so you have this just sick file. I can share my Gemini apps, but they're not like fully usable when I share them. But my Claude artifacts, those are fully shareable, fully usable when shared. And just like Gemini, I can embed AI directly into the application. So with a million token context window, my vibe, like, it's possible. This happens, and maybe I should do it for everybody. I really should. Because this happened last time, remember? The last time I canceled my Claude subscription, all of a sudden, we got these awesome connectors. We got these awesome things, right? A bunch of shit dropped like the next day that I canceled my subscription. What happens here? I canceled my subscription the other day. What drops? Million token context window. Like before, it wasn't worth it for me to spend time vibe coding in Claude because it ran out of context like constantly. So I was like, well, what's the point of doing this? And now that's not the case. So now basically, you know, my best vibe coder is back in action, and we get to kick ass together again. And yeah, it's exciting for me. We'll see. I still have 14 days left. So depending on how it all goes, like, yeah, we'll see if me being in one of the 5% of, abusers, as they call it, we'll see if I get the, oh, you know what? So here's the shocker. Even though it said that, from what I understand, it's not quite for everybody yet.
Right.
So that's why I was like a little bit hesitant, because I don't like the AI.
That's why you just keep hanging out with me and the team.
Let's build. Yeah. Like the team environment seems unaffected by any of it. Right.
Yeah. Well, team and enterprise plans are definitely like, they're like pro.
Right.
Or pro, right, or whatever the expanded one is called, and all these and all the different versions,
they get special treatment,
right? Which makes sense, and that's the part that there's so much happening behind the scenes of like multiple people using these systems with token limits, and that was the next question, right? Because that's far and away the most frustrating part of Claude, and what has led Nico to canceling his subscription twice. The limits, but not only the limits, the unpredictability of when they hit, right?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, go. Go ahead.
And so this time, because this is still like super black boxy, at least on the front end versions of these apps, right?
Yes.
In terms of not like fully understanding all of the math and context involved to hit when you do. Cause I mean, if you've seen some of Nico's like philosophical chats, they like go on forever. Like I've never, like they're 10x the size of the chats where I hit the limit, but it's usually there's no files being added. I remember you're doing that outside of a project a lot. So literally just the context was the chat, which is a big deal.
Right.
But then as we added all these connectors and apps and the API calls and the MCP activity, like they get treated in what seems like different ways. And like, it's not just word for word anymore, right? The 750,000 words, if that's in this chat or in the knowledge base, that's seems to be different from going to get those 750,000 words from HubSpot or Google Docs or somewhere outside of the system, right? So I actually asked this question this morning. I haven't read the answer yet, but like, what are the different ways I can burn through tokens quickly in a single chat?
That's so great.
Here are the primary token accelerators ranked by consumption rate. Oh, he's even ranking them for me.
Yeah, right.
Heavy token burners. Large file uploads. This is the fastest way to consume tokens. A single comprehensive PDF report, research document, or data set can consume 50,000 to 200,000 plus tokens in one go. Multiple files compound this rapidly. This has been pretty easy to figure out. Like if you're adding transcripts and images and stuff like that, like between 5 and 10 attachments in a single chat, like same way you max out at 5 attachments at one in one input. That was clearly a way to hit the barrier quickly. Code analysis, full code bases, especially with extensive documentation and comments, burn through tokens quickly. A moderate size application might consume 100,000 plus tokens. Long form content creation, detailed strategic documents, comprehensive guides, or extensive creative works. A thorough business strategy document could easily reach 20,000 to 50,000 tokens. And there's feels like there's a difference between like if it delivers it in the chat versus it as an artifact. Because basically whatever is being created, it's now referencing in every call and response, or it has been, right? Yes. A part of this is clearly turning the entire system into like all RAG. And that's going to be a learning curve I've seen, like the cross chat stuff, like, cause I haven't been tagging all that stuff appropriately in preparation for this. But I'll keep going here. Research synthesis. When I pull multiple web sources and synthesize them into comprehensive analysis, especially for complex topics requiring deep context, moderate token consumers. Extended strategic conversations are flowing discussions about transformation frameworks, value first principles, and collaborative planning accumulate steadily but sustainably. Iterative development, multiple rounds of refinement on documents and frameworks or strategies where we build complexity over time.
Yeah, which definitely extends to when you're doing vibe coding. Not just,
yeah.
For sure. If you're having it update code constantly and it's in like version 6 or 7, get ready for, you know, previously get ready for that combo to end.
Yep. And even though I asked about burn, like fast, how does it negatively impact me? He ends with some token efficient approaches.
Right.
Focused tactical discussions, specific implementation questions, or targeted problem solving. Meta strategic planning, high level direction setting before diving into detailed work. And the strategic insight here, the real value isn't in burning through tokens quickly, but in using this capacity to maintain coherence across complex multidimensional projects. You now upload your entire strategic framework context. Yep. Makes a little more sense. One thing, probably where I'm going to go next in this conversation, and this is outside of a project, by the way. So it's just my preferences and instructions that are causing him to reference value first and things like that. And probably where I go with this next is to talk about the difference between Sonnet and Opus and deep research. And like, cause he really didn't touch on, like, he talked about web sources, right? Mm-hmm. But we didn't, yeah. I want to know about these web connectors. Cause one of the tricks I found, and this might not be a trick anymore, right? Like, I've had to, like, I could reach, it'll error and say you're at the limit. And then I uncheck web search and then I can keep going. Right. So it's like every input, there's an assessment point where it's like trying to.
It's having to.
Tokens. Like inference. Is that the inference point?
I don't look the technical terms. I wish. What it sounds like to me is the same thing as having extensions in Chrome and opening a new tab. Whether you realize it or not, every tab, like the reason that Chrome eats up so much memory is because every single tab carries the exact same amount of memory loading for the extensions you have. So if one tab costs, let's say 350 megs, you're just multiplying that every time you open a new one, right? And so that's how like one set of your So one of your Chrome windows can all of a sudden be worth like 2.5 gigs of memory. So, I think it's something like that where you're sort of preloading. And because you're preloading these tools, it takes up space because it assumes that it may have to use one of these tools. So it kind of just keeps them handy so that it can quickly reference, right? Maybe. That's my best estimate because that's kind of what it feels like, right? But I think this helps, again, like this was a really great way to counter the GPT-5 release, and that for whatever reason has not gone over so well with new users. I say new users. I mean, new users because like the people who have been complaining, I think I've started to classify generations. So like people who did personas, there's the persona generation. You guys were the first because you were using 3.5 and you knew that, programming 3.5 with personas would give you better results. And then there, is the, prompting generation. And that's basically about 6 to 8 months later is when people started to take prompting seriously. And that's when personas went away and prompting started becoming more important. And like this third generation that woke up here, y'all are the Studio Ghibli generation. Y'all woke up when you could start creating images and then you thought it was super cute. So you started using it for that kind of stuff. There is an in-between generation. I don't want to forget you guys. You are called the transcript generation. You're the ones who figured out that you could take call transcripts and turn them into emails. So your generation has kind of died off because now all your call software has auto transcript. Anyway.
Just to clarify, the persona generation, that is the point in time where you had to start everything with you're a marketing strategist and you're good at this and this and you care about this and then proceed.
I mean, I still have I still have all my bookmarks. I still have that doc that has all of the different personas broken down.
Do you have to use them anymore?
You know, so things have kind of changed with 5. And yes, there is a little bit of a difference in terms of like, how do you get the best possible output? Right. I have noticed basically, that with 5, I don't know, what you say matters, right? I've been telling people for a while now that you need to talk to these things as if they were actually people. And when you talk to a person, so think about how you guys prompt on a daily basis. And this is for all of you that use 5 and you're like, oh, 5 sucks. And I wish I had 4 back and I'm so glad they put this for all of you. Think about when you talk to a person and you talk to them about a problem that you're solving. Okay. Let's say you're driving, you're working on something on your house. DIY project, you're driving a nail into a board, right? With your drill, you didn't real or with, you know, screw into whatever with your drill, didn't realize that you needed like cement or concrete screws. You know, you're using wood ones, blah, blah, blah. So you talk about the problem to the guy at the hardware store, right? You start in with, I'm working on this DIY project at home and I'm trying to do this thing. I have my drill and I have these screws, but when I put the drill and the screws into the thing, it hits the cement and the screws break. How do I fix this problem? I think I'm supposed, and then the guy tells you, now don't treat the guy like the LLM. Just stay with me. The guy tells you and you work through it. Here's the steps, right? I'm going to need this and I'm going to need this thing. And then at the very end of it, you wrap it up with, okay, this is how I'm going to work on solving this problem. So you've created this problem sandwich where in the beginning you've stated, here's the thing that I have to do, and this is the problem that I'm trying to solve. And then in the middle, you say, basically, these are the steps I think I'm supposed to take, and these are the materials I think I'm supposed to use. And then in the end, you're finishing with, because this is the problem that I have, so I hope this solves the issue, right? And when you give that level of context to the model, yeah, all of a sudden it fully understands your dilemma and it can help you solve it to the nth degree, right? I've watched people ask it questions like, you know, is the sky blue? And it'll say no. And most people expect yes. And they say like, oh, it's so dumb. Well, guess what? The real answer is no. The sky is not blue. The sky is white. And because it's white and it has atmospheric haze to it, it's reflecting. What is it reflecting? The blue water. So no, it's not blue, right? Like there's science behind that whole answer. And unfortunately, GPT is trying to keep you from being stupid, right? Like at the end of the day. So, are there like the hallucination rate to me is non-existent. Almost like practically non-existent. I have tried really hard to get GPT to like not answer something correctly or to try to get it to like be way off with stuff. Now, I don't know. Look, to me at this point, it very much could be the same case as Chrome. Your Chrome is different from my Chrome, is different from George's Chrome, is different from, you know, Bobby's Chrome. So could be the case where our usage of GPT has kind of shaped it in such a way that for us, it's like using spears. And maybe for other people, it's like using forks, right? Like, I don't know. I can only guess that that's what's going on. Cause otherwise it's down to prompting. And if that's going to be the case, then, you know, yesterday with so much just like BS feedback about it, I just put together a GPT-5 prompting, GPT, so that you can, and quite literally, you just hit the button and then you paste your prompt in there that you thought was going to work, but didn't work. And then it'll change it into what's going to work. And so bringing it all back. Yeah. Part of what makes it work is that programming aspect, that persona aspect, because what you're going to get back is something that includes a role. It's going to include a purpose. And most importantly, the thing that you guys don't do, right? What did I say about working on the DIY project? I said, I took the drill, I put the thing in, and I tried to do it, and this broke. I gave it an example of what I was doing, right? And why it was broken. I didn't just like tell it, you know, hey, this is the thing. I need to find out what the right screws are to do this, because this is, you know, here's the whole project and that's it. I also like went into detail about like, yeah, I was trying to drill into this specific thing, right? So that's where it becomes this whole thing of like, at the end, it shows examples and it gives like, here's a good example of an answer and here's a bad example of an answer as part of the prompt. And it makes such a tremendous amount of difference that you only have to use that once to kick off your conversation, and then you should be good after that. At least that's how I have experienced it. Like, yeah. I just do that initial prompt, and then, boop, that's it for the conversation. We're all good.
Yeah. And here's why I appreciate context engineering over prompt engineering. And this is along the lines of your principle of go one step farther, right? Because in that hardware store scenario, the human, after receiving instructions from the expert, then has to go execute the instructions. Mm-hmm. And how often do they not execute the instructions perfectly for two very specific reasons? Often, that piece is going to cost too much. So let me see if I can just do it without that part. Or, yeah, I don't know if that guy, I've never heard anybody say it like that before. So, yeah, I think it's actually, I'm going to leave that part out because that's the part that's not making sense to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do it this other way.
Yeah. Right?
And it'll be fine. And that's like when you disagree on the answer about the sky is blue, that is you suggesting that you are smarter than the AI model. Like, and sorry to tell you, that is incorrect. And that's where like the contextual conversation part, even like back to the example, like for a lot of people right now, what we're seeing, and this is what I have to imagine the AI, like the reason that it needs to get out of the lab and into hands is because there's training on both sides to understand how to move past these challenges to where you go home and you try to follow the instructions in your way. It doesn't work. You have to go back to the hardware store and like, you know, tail between your legs, re-engage.
Yep.
And, you know, if it is an expert, they're going to confirm what you did and didn't do. Oh, why are you having to buy another one of these?
Yeah.
What happened? Like, because they want, I mean, they want to help. Maybe they gave you bad instructions, right? So they're going to confirm that. But then when they don't, when they find out they don't, now you trust them a little bit more and you take their advice a little bit more to heart and you don't question them as much. Like, this is the human in the loop part where I finished up that podcast yesterday. When we talk about autonomous vehicles and flight, and we're going to get to a point where there will be stuff preventing from humans from being involved because they will do it in a worse way, like hands down.
Yep.
Right. And if you can understand that future, but even these real life scenarios, like these are all the why AI is not like a perfect, will not be able to perfectly replace like humans because we act irrationally all the time and it's inconsistent.
Yep.
And it's like, sometimes we can be proud of it. Sometimes we need to own up to it and like release control. So from what I've seen, this feedback is all about, I can't control it in the way I used to be able to. Mm-hmm. And the fact is,
you shouldn't have been trying to in the first place.
Right? Like,
we told you not to treat it like a tool. We told you to treat it like a person, right? And if you had been treating it like a person this whole time, you wouldn't have an issue. Honestly. That and custom instructions, people. Come on. Like, just learn. You don't
give it a chance to help you out the way you want.
You don't go buy like a piece of anything and then just, oh, intuitive, just work. And I'm never going to read instruction manuals and I'm never going to learn how to use it. Come on. Like, it takes 10 seconds. Like, go open your profile. Hit your custom preferences, custom instructions, just mouse over the information thing. It'll tell you what you're supposed to write in there and, you know, have a day with it.
Yes. Enjoy us on Sunday if you need help having that day, because we'll be back at it.
We'll go through all of it. I'm going to go through all of it. I'm going to go through setting up your GPT. That's what it's going to be. GPT 101 Sunday. Tune in for it. If you haven't been using it, if you have been using it, I'm going to do a one-on-one. I don't do these. ever. I never, ever, ever do like one-on-ones or 101s where it's just like, yeah, and here's the basic feature. Tune in and I swear you will, it'll be worth it.
So we'll see you on Sunday. Everybody have an amazing Friday. Thanks, Nico.
Do it. See you, Chris.